Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
You made it.
Yes, I did. What did you think I was doing?
I thought you were going for your headphones.
Okay, that's what I was doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been together a long time.
You didn't have headphones on.
Yeah, right. And I went to plug them in and they weren't here. That's when I realized I needed to run to the other room to get the headphones.
See, this is the playoffs. This is the kind of thing that happened in the playoffs.
This is Thurman Thomas.
I mean, I didn't have my helmet.
I don't know.
I will not tell him you said that.
I wasn't prepared. I made it in time. So.
What do you think was the cause? Like, why would this have happened to you today?
The
tacos?
It could have been the tacos. We started chit-chatting as soon as I got in here. You were here ahead of me. And we started talking and...
You brought me pants.
Sure, I brought you pants. And I sat down. Normally, I do not sit down. I put some things down in my spot, take my coat off, hang it on the chair next to me, walk into the control room where Zach is to get the headphones. But I skipped that step because you were so engaging. You were so personable when I walked in that I don't know. But we just started chit-chatting, and I forgot. I just sat down and started my day. Once I start logging into the computer, that's it. I'm not going in there to get the headphones.
I see.
Until 302.
Well, there's some inside baseball for everyone listening. Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Sam Paniatovich, Jeremy Kahn from Baltimore, Sal Capaccio, and then the hockey game. What I have read, both from friends and on X, as you call it, X, is a sentiment that everybody loves Baltimore.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way.
It does? That's what I'm asking you.
It feels that way to me. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not Joe yesterday. Joe Ostrowski didn't love
that's
Baltimore.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Ross doesn't love Baltimore. Who does? Who's everybody?
That's a great question. I don't know. I can't put a name on it.
There is
Dan Orlovsky.
Does he?
Not really. I mean, he loves this 6'7", 300-pound guys. Like he said on the Buffalo show, he was on One Bills Live earlier this week. and made a point about how they used a six lineman with Ricard on the field and with Derek. So you got like seven 300-pound people trying to block you. And there's a first thing I saw this morning when I got up was a video breakdown of him making the same point. Basically, if Buffalo can't stop this, it's game over. It was like the heading. I don't know if he actually says that in the thing, but I'll bet he does. I didn't click on it to listen to the audio because I've already heard him talk about it. And I recognize that that's a unique personnel grouping and a unique challenge. But I feel like all my reaction to that was to say something like what I said yesterday about like these linemen are all going to be 400 pounds and Derrick Henry's going to run a 4.40 and be 7 feet tall by the time this game starts. It feels like to me like it's just being talked about and up like how challenging Baltimore is. And like I think they deserve a lot of respect, and I in no way think that like the Bills are all set in this game against any Baltimore personnel groupings. I think it's going to be a really tough-ass game to win. But it just sounds to me like Baltimore has become like the 85 Bears or something over the course of the week. And I don't know, maybe that's right. Maybe they will absolutely obliterate the Bills and murder the Kansas City, and we'll all be sitting around a month from now going, well, but Baltimore, that was a historic playoff run. I mean, they just trampled everybody that was in their path. It could happen, but I don't think it's that likely. I mean, I don't think they're some kind of super team or something. If they were some kind of super team, maybe they would have been 15-2 instead of Kansas City. So
that was last year.
Right. I don't know, man. I don't like try to duke it out in the streets like some people do on social media with that. But I did get a taste of it. I mean, I tweeted this about the seven foot lineman and or 400-pound lineman and 7 foot Derrick Henry, and there's Ravens fans in there swearing at me. it's testy. It's fine, whatever. I mean, I'm not digging in on it. But it feels like the national most of the objective stuff I see on X. Baltimore. This is a terrible match. Baltimore. And, I don't know. That might be right. But I just think the whole thing has gotten sort of out of hand.
Well, maybe. It should get out of hand when you get to the playoffs, the second round. You know, if it's not out of hand, you know, you're a lesser sport. There's something wrong if it's not out of hand at this point. You're hockey. Everyone always loves the Ravens. Haven't we been saying that for 6 years? Like, the Ravens are every analyst's favorite, whether that's how they draft or scheme or anything. They always have this, and I don't begrudge them this. I'm sort of in on it. Like, they always get a lot of credit for whatever it is they just did. And that's kind of what Baltimore is, which, you know, it'd be kind of time for them to win something, right? Just like with the Bills, maybe even more so with the Ravens, you know, get there then if you're so good every year, last 2 years. I mean, Jackson got hurt a couple times and that undermined their seasons, but otherwise, get home, right? I mean, that's what the Bills and the Ravens both have, is this sort of urgency to get home. So you've got that with Baltimore. Also, just specific to this game, shouldn't we apply the running game principle, the importance of the running game principle that we use for the Bills all the time to the Ravens? Like, really, if Dan Orlovsky, you said, you have to tell me if he said something. If he's making a point that Baltimore's sort of base formation, two running back, the fullback, the tight, whatever it is.
Right.
Like, is just too much for the Bills, game over. Well, what does that look like? Is that 10 yards per carry? No. This is not, right. This is not, you know, I don't want to besmirch a certain college, but this is not a college game where one team is from a power conference and the other is just there for the check.
Right.
Like, that isn't what this would be. What would it be? The Ravens, no matter what physical advantage they enjoy up front or with the fullback, all of it, they're still going to finish drives. They're still going to have to make throws to win. And like, this is sort of, I mean, really, like, to be consistent with the Bills this whole year or for the last 5 years is you really just can't expect to run the ball to win, though, right? Like, in the playoffs, you're not going to beat the best teams this way. And this is what he or you or they are kind of saying is there for the Ravens in this game, that the possibility of such a dominant edge offensively that the Bills just will not be able to slow them down. And I don't know.
No, I'm having a very tough time with that. I said yesterday, if you like, please notify me when a running back like leads the way to this victory. I'm still more worried about Lamar Jackson than
everyone should be.
Than I am Derrick Henry. I mean, I think he's just in. He's in our heads because of Week 4. He's in our heads because of the 300-pound fullback. He's in our heads because DaQuan Jones and Ed Oliver got run over the last time we played them.
Other Tennessee games,
sure.
Too.
Yeah, there's just a lot that's there, and I respect all that. I just think when you have only, you know, when the games get trimmed down to where there's only two per conference, like you know the level we're at now, like there's just more attention on, you know, each game, and this game is the sexiest matchup of the four, so it's getting a lot of attention, and it just feels to me like an inordinate amount of the attention is on a running back. And I think I said yesterday something defective, like I might have to eat this, and I will, but I'll believe Derrick Henry is going to beat the Bills, like without Lamar Jackson doing something incredible, when I see it happen. I mean, the Bills have been playing to let teams run the ball for years. Now, well, Baltimore is different because of the personnel and how they might be lining up and all of that, but it's still, like, as long as I'm not giving up 15 yards every time he touches the ball, I think they're going to have to pass, and I'm going to have to defend that, and I better be ready for that. There's so much focus on stopping Henry and these big people that I think you can kind of lose the plot on Lamar Jackson and how dangerous he is, even without Zay Flowers. So I just think it's just been sort of tilted one way towards the running back. And I feel like some part of it, I don't know if it's been said or even if my guess is right, but some of this week feels to me like one recent chance, I don't want to say last chance, because we'll see where the league goes stylistically, but I feel like the people who have been pissed off about running backs don't matter for the last 10 or 15 years are flying their flags. And like Baltimore's gonna come in there and show you some real football, you bunch of pansies. Like that's what a lot of this feels like to me. And I just think that's stupid. I think that's silly to treat it that way. You know, I could be wrong about all of that, and maybe everyone will be paying running backs $10 or $15 million in a couple of years because the league will have swung back because Baltimore was so dominant. But I just kind of doubt it.
Well, the Bills have their version of that. I mean, it's not as famous, but with Cook, like, they run the ball too. It's kind of fundamental to how they play. All of that, what I'm hearing, like, we're talking about, the Ravens are just too good, maybe. But it necessarily ignores Josh Allen. Like, what I'm not hearing is that the Ravens are this and Allen is less than, or that he will, somebody's probably saying it, but that there's some reason to bet against him, irrespective of the opponent, the matchup, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hearing that. And what are Bills fans walking around with? You know, in Kansas City today, I was asked, like, are fans confident? Like, they're confident because they have him. And maybe they're not the right matchup for Derrick Henry or even Jackson. But they have Allen, and he fixes everything. Like, he overcomes. And I know that that's a lot to ask or assume from him, but it all ignores him. Like, it's all just about Baltimore and scheme and efficiency and just like you have Hall of Fame kind of players, quarterback, running back, that should be enough. All of that put together would be enough to just win anywhere. Well, the Bills will get the ball half the time in this game. And aren't we kind of expecting Allen to figure out how to get there? You know, if not win the game, but keep up in the game at least and give the Bills a chance to win it. I mean, is this the Bengals game where, I mean, even the Bengals game was a one-score game pretty far into the second half, but Cincinnati pulled away. Like, this isn't the Bengals game, is it? Where, you know, Diggs is screaming on the sideline and it's 14-0 before you sort of open your eyes. Is it that? I don't think it's that. I mean, that I didn't predict that would happen then either. The Bills were favored,
right?
I think, in the game against the Bengals, and they're not even favored here at home. But the thesis of the play when it comes to the Bills is that Allen will carry them. And, you know,
and the defense just needs to do enough.
And the defense needs to not get destroyed.
Right.
Which I feel like that's a pretty safe bet that they don't get destroyed. I'm not expecting them to get destroyed. Some people probably are. But you got to have faith in Allen at this point. And in McDermott. And as we've talked about a lot this week, or at least yesterday, that for me isn't so much how to defend the Ravens, you know, like if they're too good, they're too good. But I don't expect them to be like dominant on offense in this game. I don't see a game in the 30s, like you said you do. But then you need two things from McDermott. You need sort of a scheme that makes sense, personnel usage, whatever, like, oh, okay, that was smart. And then hopefully that's good enough. And then you have to avoid a gaffe. You have to avoid why are we punting? Mm-hmm. What is this? Like, why did we throw this?
Replay flag. Whatever. Right.
Why are you using timeouts? You know, right. Just like, we want to avoid that. That would be good for our sanity if we can avoid mm-hmm. that in this game. Well, it's coming. I mean, we're almost there.
I can't wait. I just can't wait. I think I don't know. It's a choice, I guess. Like, you can choose to get yourself all wound up, I think. Maybe it just happens and it's unavoidable. Like, that's just how you are. I don't know. I know I have been like that at other times, and I think even pretty recently about them. I definitely was extremely nervous about Cincinnati a couple of years ago, because I thought that team was in real trouble emotionally after what had happened with DeMar Hamlin. And so I was really nervous about that. I'm not at all telling you by expressing that I don't feel nervous that I'm sure the Bills are going to win or anything, but I just, at some point here, I don't know if this is even good for us or me professionally, but like, it's a football game. It's coming either way. If I get all tied up in knots on Friday, like, what good is that doing anybody? I don't know. Maybe it would be entertaining if I were in here losing my mind.
Angry football guy.
But I don't know, man. I just, it's such a fantastic matchup, and the stakes on both sides are so enormous. You know, the two MVP candidates, the Bills keep hitting their head on the divisional round. The Ravens are similar. Like, it just works in so many ways that I'm just more excited than anything else for the game to get here, which is probably why I'm allowing myself to be annoyed by, you know, 7-foot Derrick Henry, you know, turning into Paul Bunyan as this game approaches.
How tall was Paul Bunyan? Who is Paul Bunyan? He wasn't real?
I don't believe. Well,
he had a blue ox.
Babe.
Babe?
Babe the blue ox.
What's the deal with that?
I assume he was based on some real figure. I don't know if that was a real name of someone, but he's a giant lumberjack. Paul Bunyan.
Go to Wikipedia. He was born in 9 different places.
Yeah, it makes it unlikely that he's a real person. That's one thing. That's one factor, I think, that Paul you would Bunyan. Take into account if you were trying to determine whether Paul Bunyan was a real person.
How did he die? How did Paul Bunyan die? Do we know that? Was that part of the story, or just he lived forever?
The ox.
He lives on.
The ox ate him.
The ox.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know a lot. I know Babe the Blue Ox. I know like big, you know, red flannel shirt.
Okay. Yeah, I see that here in the picture.
Like that's all I got.
Paul Bunyan.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Anyway.
Kansas City plays tomorrow. So I told you I did Alex Gold's show today, Cody and Gold in Kansas City. I'm telling you, I mean, a couple of times I might have even brought it up, just sort of in passing, when talking about this game and the playoffs overall. They're talking like the Chiefs game is a given that they'll win.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I think I said, like, are you guys sure? What a difference it would make here.
Yes.
If they lost to Houston. Couldn't they lose to Houston?
Yes. Yes. The Bills could have lost to Denver. Like, it's the NFL and it's the playoffs.
But they weren't that close to losing to Denver.
No. No, they weren't. But, you know, a different game. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, it was 10-7 at halftime. I mean, it's not like it was a walk. It turned into a walk eventually. So, yeah. I mean, couple of pass rush wins up front, a takeaway, whatever.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, anything could happen. I don't know. I'll wait until whenever we're doing picks to see what you do to determine what I'm doing.
Well,
I don't know if I had to do it without, you know, if I wasn't down by enough that I need to just go opposite you. +8, which is what I see right now, at least at the ESPN bet, which is the page I have open.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be tempted by that.
Would you be dog enough to bet money on Houston +8.5? Maybe that's why you should do it. Because that question sounded right to you.
Yeah.
Like, who's brave enough to take 8.5 points against the Chiefs in the playoffs? These games, it's much like their regular season. They've had playoff games that were pretty competitive. The Cleveland one, the Jacksonville one.
Mm-hmm.
you know, last year they were here in this round. That was competitive, obviously.
I think I would pick Houston, putting money on it. I mean, I don't know. Depends on what I could build into a parlay. I don't bet just one game. That's boring. That's how you win small amounts of money.
That's how you win money.
Yeah, I'd rather
betting singles.
Yeah, right. I'd rather just keep losing. Gotta get that one more game in there. 4 out of 5 on a five-leg NHL parlay last night.
Oh, woo!
Golf clap.
Hang a banner.
would have been a big payout.
You know, at some sites you can get paid off for that. Like you can get an underdog.
Yeah,
like if you 4 out of 5 is a win.
Yeah,
like at those bowling alleys where you see 9 equals X. I never understood 9 equals X. 9 is not a strike. 10.
Yeah.
They have 9 equals X, or they used to when I was bowling, which was in the late 80s as a teenager.
I'm not familiar with no 9 equals X. I know my dad wouldn't stand for it.
4 out of 5, in some places would be good enough. Well, we'll do the picks later. Sam Panayotovich will have his own picks coming up next. Jeremy Kahn from The Fan in Baltimore. Sal Capaccio as well. It's only Ray Davis listed as questionable in this game with the concussion protocol situation when he was hurt on Sunday against the Broncos. It is Football Friday. The Sabres tonight as well, home to the Penguins. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sammy P next will be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, Bills Mafia is undefeated, man. They're the best fans in the world, and just so awesome that we get a chance to play at home. We can't wait to kind of be side by side with them this weekend, and the game is going to be decided on the field, but they certainly are a big piece of every win that we have here.
That is Lamar Jackson, strangely, oddly, talking up Bills fans, calling them the, quote, best in the league. Reverse psych right there from the Ravens quarterback. Sean McDermott on WGR this morning. If you missed it, check it out on the Odyssey app. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, Football Friday, joined by Sam Panayotovich of BetQL Daily. Always a lot to talk about with Sam, including some wing porn that he seems to have run into today.
Yes.
Odyssey Sports, BetQL Insider, Sam Panayotovich. BetQL Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out the latest lines on the BetMGM app. And be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast for more analysis. Just search BetQL Daily wherever you find your podcasts. So, Sam, here's my hot take on wings. They're all good. They're always good. Sure, sometimes they're better than other times, but I'm not one for the rankings, or I have really no interest in sort of, oh, these are chicken wings, they're great. It's not exactly, you know, fine dining. So it's good, it's important to the, it's culturally important, love them, but I'm not your guy, not that you asked me to be, but I'm not your guy for ranking chicken wing places.
Don't listen to anything this man says to you about food ever.
Come on.
Well, not food. He'd find it. But don't listen to him about wings, Sam.
Come on.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
They're always good.
Sure. But there's elite out there. I am into the rankings. I rank. I don't make them public, but in my head, I've got to go to this place.
How do you even know, like, this one is better than that one?
Because I have a mouth.
Okay, Sam.
And
I don't know. Sorry.
And taste buds.
Sam?
Sam, well, are you there? Did you hang up?
Fight.
Well, what was your point there today? Was it just like a picture that got you, or a certain place, or what is it here?
I think the picture looked pretty delicious, right?
The picture looked great. And look, Mike, now I know I can't lean on you for wing take, because Bulldog sent me back, you know, a very thorough response.
I gave him some analysis.
No, what did I say?
Of what was pictured.
Like a smiley face? What did I give you?
I think Mike's, hold on, let me pull up what Mike said. I think he said, oh.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, good. That's enough. That's what I meant. It came across the way I meant it.
Yeah, well received. I disagree with you. Look, there are the Tennessee Titans of wings, and there are the Buffalo Bills of wings. I'd much rather have a Bills wing than a Titans wing.
Yeah, and the Titans wings are fine, to Mike's point. Like, most bars that serve wings, they're going to be fine. Like, okay, this is fine.
Good enough.
This is my problem with the word fine. Fine. These are fine. It's fine. What does fine mean? In my vernacular, fine means I wish it were better, but like I'm not going to die here. I mean, the beer's cold. I'm all good. But I would like to strive for better than fine. So places I usually frequent for wings, I know or I feel pretty confident they're going to be better than fine.
Okay. You'll drive
I've
out of
checked off a bunch of places in Buffalo, as the two of you have learned. I have this obsession, not only with wing porn, but driving through Buffalo in December. So I've stopped at a lot of the spots, but I have not. Bulldog, what was the one that guy tweeted about that comes on your show? It's like the 7-Eleven or the 9-Eleven or something like that?
9-Eleven Tavern is it's got a lot of fans. Yeah. It's my personal favorite.
7-Eleven, no.
Not 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven, 9-Eleven.
Okay. 9-Eleven.
No, is this where you ask me if one is better than the other? Not between 9-Eleven and 7-Eleven? I'm an 8-Eleven guy. Anyway, well, I appreciate, you know, your being a connoisseur. It's the Ravens and the Bills Sunday night. Baltimore -1, 51.5. I'm looking at the aforementioned BetMGM app here, Sam, and I don't know how, like, meaningful or reliable even this is, but like money bets is down the middle, over under is down the middle, spread bets is 50-40, like in that range. Is this game, as you hear people talking about it or read analysis of it, is it like a coin flip, or is there a school of thought here? Maybe, like, I've seen Nick Costos, I think, reference this, that everybody likes Baltimore. Well, some of the numbers here don't exactly reflect that.
The early push came in on the Ravens for sure, because this market opened last Sunday. I can tell you exactly when it did, because this stuff is all tracked on the stuff that I use. So on the 12th of January, it was opened up Buffalo -1.5, total 51.5. Within, 18 hours, let's call it Monday morning, it was already out to Baltimore -1. So the initial push when the market first came out showed up on the Ravens. And here we sit. We're mostly where we were on Monday, 1-1.5, circa in Vegas, which takes very big limits. Ironically enough, with the news about Zay Flowers that he is doubtful, circa just moved to Baltimore -2. So whoever bet that doesn't seem to care that Zay Flowers is doubtful, which is kind of weird. But if I hear one more time, Acasos has been saying this all week, like, oh, the Bills can't stop the run? Give me a break, man. Like, that game, when they played in late September, if I remember correctly, Bills were down multiple starters, and Taylor Rapp knocked himself out trying to tackle Derrick Henry. That was just a bad game. It was a buzzsaw. It was a Sunday night. A tough game for them, and they had been playing through a lot of deficiencies and injuries on D. Who's healthier right now? That's my question to the betting public. Who's healthier? And I think the answer is Buffalo.
Well, yeah, I mean, Zay Flowers potentially missing the game. I mean, that's a Pro Bowl caliber receiver for them, and the Bills don't have any sort of corresponding. The biggest concern they've got right now is their punt returner, and even he seems fine after missing last week's game, and their third-string running back was in concussion protocol all week. Like, that's it. And you're right about the interior of the defense, Sam. It was Taron Johnson, the nickel corner, and we'll see how much he plays and how much the Bills use Dorian Williams, a third linebacker. But Milano and Bernard, the other two starting linebackers, missed the entirety of the game, and they're back. So, I think the idea, the way I've been hearing it and the way it's been building here this week, is that Derrick Henry is going to be 7 feet tall and run a flat 4-second 40 by the time this game starts. Like, that's how the hype is running in my head here.
So there are wise guys in this racket, as you guys know, that are winning bettors and that have the ability to move a betting line with their wagers, right? These guys all last year, I'd say 9 of 10 wise guys last year in the AFC title game, could not stop betting Baltimore, because Baltimore is metrically sexy. Baltimore plays to a high power rating, and people think that playoff games are played on calculators, and they're not. They're not, because Baltimore, the 5-point favorite, had Lamar Jackson run the ball 8 times and throw it almost 40 times. Baltimore has shown you this propensity in the playoffs to fall behind and forget what got them to where they are. It's happened multiple times in Lamar Jackson's career. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to happen on Sunday, but they better go ahead. They better get that Derrick Henry 87-yard touchdown and go up 7-0, because if Buffalo goes up first and frazzles Lamar, who is very easily frazzled in, what, 18-degree high? I'm seeing the low is 12. Somebody tweeted out that this would be the lowest temperature game that Lamar and Derrick Henry have ever played in. I didn't fact-check that, but yeah. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore is a great team. Baltimore also, when behind, is a different team, and now they don't have their best receiver. So the urgency on the Bills must be, let's get ahead early, and let's see if we can warp them yet again in the postseason. Not that Buffalo's done it, but that the Ravens have shown when they fall behind, they abandon the run. And if they can't get out of their own way, advantage Buffalo.
The Zay Flowers listed as doubtful, by the way, by the Ravens within the last hour or so. So that's the official designation there. So are you on the Bills then, Sam? Ultimately, like, I think Joe is. He was talking about them sort of favorably yesterday. What's your favorite bet here?
In this game, I did bet Buffalo plus 1.5. I guess I can tell you what I told Joe. So I told him on Sunday, I texted him, and I said, I'm betting the Bills. And then on Monday, I texted him again, and we talked about it on the show. I went out Tuesday night to watch some college basketball, and I had a Bruins game that I went to. And I came home that night. I will admit, I may have been drinking that night. And I woke up Wednesday morning and checked all my accounts, as I always do in the morning, and I went, whoa!
Uh-oh.
I bamboozled the Bills plus 1.5. Like, I bet them pretty nice. And I don't remember betting that much, but I did. And it's not that I don't like think it was a good idea. I think in vino veritas, right? That's what I was told a long time ago. The truth comes out in the wine. I liked them. I didn't think consciously I liked them that much, but apparently I do at 1 o'clock in the morning when I place this bet.
Can I ask you this? Like, do you have a time of week where you think you're the best at it? This year, there were a couple times on Monday morning where I would sort of wake up and look at the lines for the upcoming week and, oh, they're not remembering that this guy's hurt or that, you know, kind of learning from you and from Joe that there's going to be news that might come that would change the line and trying to get on top of it. And it's just sort of a gut thing, but I felt like on Monday morning is when I was doing my best work.
Not necessarily. I mean, I just always try and bet when I know that I have a good number, and I envisioned anything with a plus sign in front of Buffalo to be enticing enough. And, hopefully I'm undefeated this year, making bets at 1:15 a.m. Eastern time. I'd be 1-0. I hope that's the case, but I do like your team. You know, it's a different conversation if they play Kansas City, because you got to kill the king to be the king. But I do think you guys are going to be much better at home in the elements. I do like your side. I took 1.5. It's not my favorite bet of the weekend, but it's a bet that I made for sure.
Not that anybody asked, but I think I do my best work around 2 o'clock in the afternoon at More Room on a bar stool when the first leg of my 5-leg parlay craps, and then I just start scrambling. That's when I do my best.
Is that right?
We find some other games.
It doesn't sound like how they would teach you in college to do it. Sam, do you have a favorite other game this weekend?
I think the Rams are cooked. They are morphing into one of these public darlings, and it started Monday during the game against Minnesota. You know, Buck and Troy are talking about it, and then, oh, there's Stafford holding the trophy. Oh, there's McVay with the trophy, and you're like, oh, yeah, well, that team also had Aaron Donald. That helped a lot, too. I don't think they can stop the Eagles' running game. Now, turnovers are always the great equalizer. If Barkley puts it on the ground a couple times, if Hurts takes a sack and fumbles, whatever, that's going to change any game. But I don't think the Rams can win a physical game in Philly. I don't. And every time the Rams make a run, they're often at home or playing on the West Coast against the Arizonas or the San Franciscos of the world. Now they got to go to Philly. Now that Eagles defense, to me, guys, is the best unit on the field. And I think this dink and dunk stuff with a lack of speed is going to be a problem. I do like Fangio a lot as well. Fangio knows they're going to try and go through Puka. He's going to take Puka and trying to eliminate him or double him or whatever, and then you need an older quarterback without a lot of speed in the cold trying to throw that ball through the wind. It's not a good matchup. We already saw this matchup. Philly pounded them 37-20. That's a game I really like, Philly minus six.
I agree. Sam, good luck this week. Thanks for your time. We'll talk again next Friday.
Good luck. I hope we're talking about Bills and Chiefs yet again. Good luck.
We hope we're talking about Bills and Texans, Sam, actually.
That would also be fine.
More favorable.
Yeah,
sure.
Either.
Go Notre Dame, by the way, Sam. Yeah.
The host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports, BetQL Insider, Sam Panayotovich. BetQL Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. More on the Ravens coming up at 4. Jeremy Kahn from The Fan in Baltimore will join us then. The Sabres host Pittsburgh tonight. Pregame at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Football Friday, Jeremy Kahn of The Fan in Baltimore coming up after the update. Here is Monir. Monir, is that you?
Yes.
Let's go.
Okay, so I just wanted to say congratulations to all the teams that made it. And it's going to be a beautiful weekend for football. I mean, not the weather, but like everybody together. And that's first and foremost. But I just disagree with the most of the sports commentators, how they're agreeing that Lamar Jackson is better. I'm not just because I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. I'm an NFL fan first and foremost. But they just don't. I don't agree with it because they're saying Lamar Jackson's got a better team and he should win the MVP. How they're saying he's got more votes. But if you look at it, Josh Allen, they're saying doesn't have the receiving corps he does, but he's playing as high and as well as he is. So with that being said, that would make you better than Lamar. Not saying like I'm choosing, but I'm letting you know when it comes to statistics and that means you're playing with a group that are rookies or young or whatever, but they're playing as high as they are. You would have to give it to Buffalo Bills.
I think we got to go. I think that's the crux of the debate. I think that's maybe the fundamental issue in the debate for MVP is whether someone thinks that the Ravens have a much better roster. I mean, the Bills probably have a better line than Baltimore, but all the Pro Bowlers, I think that's your path to Allen.
Yeah. Yeah, for the MVP, for sure. I mean, supporting cast-wise, it's Allen and Deion Dawkins Pro Bowl, and the Ravens have got nine people. And plenty of those are on offense, too. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's to me, should tilt you towards Allen. Doesn't have to. Jackson has had a spectacular year. I thought all along that voter fatigue would hurt Jackson. We'll see if it does. Because he's already won two. You made a point in the summer. About a third is like, that is rare air. And Jackson is excellent, but he has had no postseason success at all. And that would just work on voters. We'll see if it does. I mean, I liked that point a lot. And I think there's also kind of a temptation to, this is not the most complimentary thing to say about Allen's season, but there's a temptation to sort of like, he's been great. He hasn't won anything. Like it's his turn kind of thing. I honestly, that's my opinion. If I were handicapping the voting, that's how I would have talked about it before the All-Pro stuff happened. The All-Pro stuff happened, and it's been a long time since someone got the nod Lamar got, first-team All-Pro, and didn't win MVP. So we'll see how it goes.
Thanks for the call. We'll be back with Jeremy Kahn, and we'll be on the Facebook stream here starting at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR.